This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a few minutes, we'll look at how cryptocurrency is only part of the funding mechanism for attacks on Israelis. I'm David Brancaccio. First, there's news of a tentative contract deal between the Kaiser Permanente healthcare system and its unions. This after Kaiser workers walked off the job for 3 days recently, the biggest healthcare strike in memory. We're also following interest rates down today and crude oil up nearly 4% in New York. For that and more, let's consult Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial. Hey.
Yeah, that's right. Russia sanctions and probably also some saber rattling from Iran. We're looking at an increase of more than $3 today. The good news, I guess, is that we're still about $10 under where oil prices were on the last day of September. But this week has been pretty much a steady upward crawl.
Different subject today, people buying a lot of U.S. government bonds. But ultimately, U.S. government bonds, that's about U.S. government borrowing. And there's some news on the way in the coming days, right?
Yesterday, the Congressional Budget Office, they issued their estimate of the Treasury deficit. Their estimate is that the deficit grew by about $300 billion to $1.7 trillion. But they also point out that last year's deficit was swollen by an adjustment. If you adjust for that, according to the CBO, the deficit was $2 trillion, swollen mostly by inflation, which caused automatic payments to go up.
FHN's Chris Lowe. The Biden administration is trying to close a loophole allowing China to get advanced artificial intelligence tech through a roundabout route. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here.
Yeah, David, the Commerce Department is expected to tighten existing rules, which already curb exports of U.S. computer chips to China. And this is according to a report in Reuters, which also says new rules on AI chip exports to overseas Chinese subsidiaries could be part of the expanded restrictions. The subsidiaries were not included in the initial export restrictions, and that meant that China could still get U.S. chips through them.
And furthermore, export controls on hardware don't completely cut off organizations in China from getting access to artificial intelligence processing.
Not entirely, because China could still access AI technology from the U.S. through the cloud. So then the question becomes, do you restrict Chinese firms' access to, say, Amazon Web Services?
And this is about U.S. concern about China's military using U.S.-made AI technology.
Right. The fear is Beijing is using AI to develop unmanned weapon systems, using AI to guide, say, missiles or in cyber warfare. AI also helps power China's facial recognition systems, which can be used against dissidents.
Nancy, thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
International authorities led by Israel and the U.S. are working to track and stop money that flows to Hamas, the outlawed group that orchestrated the massacre in Israel last weekend. Part of it flows through digital currency. Let's turn now to Ari Redbord, a former federal prosecutor and U.S. Treasury Department official, who's now global head of policy at TRM Labs, a cryptocurrency compliance firm. Mr. Redbord, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Looking forward to the conversation.
Let's start with some context. Hamas is subject to sanctions from the U.S. Treasury Department, so its access to the regular international banking system is supposed to be severely restricted. Is that part of the appeal if you want to move money? Is it you turn to crypto?
I think that's right in part. You have to understand that it's a very small piece of sort of a much larger terrorist financing puzzle, but it's certainly a piece. And part of that is very much because you can move funds outside of the traditional financial system.
This is part of one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you. I have in the past often referred to crypto as money laundering on a stick. Bad actors can take advantage of this technology. But in the work that you do, I mean, you're saying that crypto actually may make it easier for authorities to spot illegal use of money because the ledger can't be forged.
That's right. You know, cryptocurrency moves on blockchains, which are essentially networks of computers. And most blockchains are open and traceable and transparent. And using tools like TRM, law enforcement and national security authorities and others globally are able to actually track and trace the flow of funds on blockchains to ultimately seize those funds back. In 2020, U.S. Department of Justice, FBI, IRS, CI, other law enforcement seized about 150 cryptocurrency wallet addresses associated with Hamas, and then went ahead and took down the infrastructure, the websites that Hamas was using to raise funds. So the ability to track and trace the flow of funds on blockchains is absolutely critical here, and something we really can't do in the traditional world.
Any of this public where the crypto donations are coming from that are headed to Hamas?
It's interesting, and I will say that that is a major focus for TRM, a major focus for our law enforcement partners globally. But look, Hamas was an early adopter of crypto. We go back to about 2019, and we saw Hamas soliciting crypto donations in Bitcoin on Telegram channels, then moved to soliciting donations on their website. To answer your question, what we've seen over the last few days is really sort of a pretty disparate fundraising effort for those who are supporters of Hamas, and we're continuing to track that, and we'll see. Obviously, a real focus on Iran and trying to understand financial flows from Iran to Hamas at this point, and that's an ongoing process.
I think it was April of this year, Hamas announced it would no longer take donations in Bitcoin. Perhaps it's because of its traceability.
Yeah, really important point. And that's essentially what Hamas itself said, that, you know, law enforcement and other authorities have been coming down on their supporters because they've been able to trace and track these flows, and announced in April that they would not be soliciting donations in cryptocurrency. Now, whether that's entirely true or not, it's hard to say. We're obviously seeing at least supporters of Hamas go out there raising funds in crypto.
Ari Redbord is global head of policy at TRM Labs, a cryptocurrency compliance firm. He's also a former federal prosecutor and was with the U.S. Treasury Department. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey, everyone. It's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.